Lord, that you came into this world, and because of your great love for us, you would die on Calvary's cross for us. We thank you. And holy God, we praise your name. And now we ask you to speak a word for us. Speak a word of love and a word of hope. Speak, Lord, because we're listening. Your children are listening. Listening to hear from you as you speak to our hearts. Speak, Holy Spirit. Come now, Holy Spirit. We invite you into our church. We invite you into our lives. We invite you. Come, Holy Spirit. And let the words of my mouth, Lord God, and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. You know this text, truly the gospel text is coming from the gospel of Matthew, and Matthew is writing for the Jews, you know, his audience, or Jewish audience, more than the other gospels. And you could see the references to the Old Testament, and Jesus himself affirming the laws. A lot of the things were said from the law. Jesus would say it from the law. When he says, it was said, but I say, he's not negating the law. He's affirming the law. He's a fulfillment of the law, and then he's clarifying. So this text that we are just heard is getting us ready for the Lenten season, isn't it? It's getting ready for the time when we have to reflect and to pray more than we ever normally do during the 40 days of Lent, to reflect and to pray and to repent and to seek penance and to draw closer to God. So my sermon title today is Growing in the Word. Growing in the Word. And let me begin with this reflection that brings a smile to my face. And when you hear it, you will understand. It says, an old woman walks to a cemetery to spit on grave. The very title, right? An old woman walks to cemetery. I don't know. I have a gift of finding these things. Old woman walks to cemetery to spit on grave. A lot of reading it takes to find these things. In his best-selling book, The Telling Room, Michael Paterinti shares a story he heard when visiting his father's ancestral village in Sicily. You know, that's a Sicilian thing to do that, isn't it? Every day while he was in the village, he saw a very old woman walking with her cane, struggling up a steep road to get to the local cemetery. It was said that at her very slow, kind of like a tortoise pace, the walk from her home to the cemetery and back took about 6 hours out of her day. What grief inspired her difficult daily walk? Was she driven by sorrow over a departed child or a deceased husband, the love of her life? No. The locals told Pertatini that she was driven by hastío, or bitter hatred. Her arch enemy was buried in that cemetery. So rain or shine, the old woman walked up the hill every day to her enemy's graveside just to spit on it one more time. You see, we could have terrible hearts, can't we, friends? Right? Every day is 6 hours because she was filled with hatred. Right? An object lesson about what fills our heart. Jesus says, out of the outflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. When we are filled with evil and we say things that are terrible and all of that, it's already in our heart. Right? Jesus, out of the outflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's inside us determines what comes out of us, friends. What? By the time we do it, we already have what? Thought about it. Do you know? You all know what I'm saying. Lent is coming. I'm trying to help our hearts here today. That we could get ready to ask God to purge in us clean hearts. Pastor Matthew Mitchell explains how he uses a simple object lesson to illustrate the principle of overflow, which simple means that our words overflow from what's already in our hearts. So what he did was he held up a bottle of water. I was going to do that today, but I was too busy with the kid itself. He held up a bottle of water and then poured the water out on the platform. Then I ask our church family, why is there now water on the floor? Everyone laughed nervously because the answer was so obvious. My paper's stuck together here. And then I ask, but why is there water on the floor and not Pepsi or Kool-Aid? Now, besides the fact that I would have gotten into major trouble with the custodian if I poured Pepsi or Kool-Aid on the carpet, the truth is there was water on the floor because there had been water in the bottle. So many times you can't see anything happening week to week with spiritual growth. So what he was trying to explain here, water was poured out of the bottle because water was in the bottle. What you pour out is what's in you. So Pepsi or Kool-Aid could not have been poured out of the bottle because it was not in the bottle. What comes out of our hearts? And when we are so mean and always, nobody here is mean, we're lovely, wonderful people here. But I'm talking to other people that you could now share with and the folks online. When we are constantly spewing things and very critical of each other and doing horrible things and talking things and in the church, it is because it's in our heart. Love is in our heart and hate is in our heart. Isn't that amazing? Right? It's all poured out. And so we want to say here this moment, you can't about this growing spiritually. It takes time to grow spiritually. So Jesus is going to come to us now in this text with a radicalized ethic. This ethic that Jesus is going to talk about how to be is very radicalized. Because you know, when I read this text, I said to Jesus, come on now. You mean we're supposed to do all this? Because pretty soon you're going to be have one eye and one arm, Jesus said. You watch out, we're going to be lame people, but our heart is going to be fine. I was going to make my sermon title, you got to be kidding, Jesus. Right? Because Jesus is going to tell us, if Jesus would want us to be see out of one eye and lame, but have wonderful hearts. He'd rather get a lot of maimed people going to heaven that get us well, but our hearts are full of evil. It's going to be very radicalized, isn't it? Jesus is going to talk about anger. He begins, and I'm getting you ready for Lent because it's going to be not this week, next week. Right? He says, you have heard it said. Right? He says, you've heard that it was said to those of ancient times. He's always referring back to the Old Testament, right? You shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be liable for judgment. But he said, but I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable for judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to counsel. And if you say you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gifts, Jesus says, when you're bringing your gift to the altar, when we are taking our tithes and offering, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first and be reconciled to your brother and sister. Jesus is saying, you can't bring an offering to the church. You ought to bring your gift, your offering, that's what he meant, and still have hatred in your heart. You got to work on your heart first. Be reconciled, right? Because that's all. It's easy for us to give sometimes, to give up what we have and don't talk to the person next to you. Do you know that? There are folks sometimes in the church who will come and give big gifts or wherever, not just in church, yet you're not talking to the person who sits next to you. Or you have anger. So Jesus says, first, guess what? Put the gift down and go be reconciled. Because it's hard for us to say, I'm sorry. Isn't it? It's hard for people to say, I'm sorry, forgive me. Oh, why is it so hard for us to do that? Right? Because we think that the other person, you know, we're giving the person an up. So Jesus wants us to come to terms with that, all of us. Come to terms quickly with our accuser. He wants us to understand that anger doesn't work. You know, Paul is going to say what? Be angry, but don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't get so mad, especially even in your own personal life, right? With your children and your loved ones. And don't get, I remember once many years ago when I used to serve in Brooklyn, and I would get up early. There, two big services. And I was the associate there, and I would drive to Brooklyn, and I would, and my daughter was not in church as she is now. She goes to church, so long as she could breathe, she goes every Sunday with my granddaughter. Thank God that that worked out, because you never know now. There was a time when it wasn't working, but praise be to the Lord that that battle has been won, that peace. So anyway, I came home from church one day, and I just come home from church, and she hadn't gone to church. She was in the house doing something. And I got so upset that day. I started to scream at her. Why won't you go to church? Why won't you go worship the Lord? And I didn't expect her to come to Brooklyn. I expect her to go to the church in Queens because I'm serving in Brooklyn. But we have our church in Queens. And I'm screaming at her. I really had just lost it because every week I'm asking her like, are you going to church today? And she looked at me and she said, Mommy, I guess you went to church, but whatever they told you didn't work on you, did it? Right? Because she was reminding me. She says, I guess you went to church so early in the morning, but whatever they told you didn't. You didn't get it. And I realized, I'm not even a good example of the word I preach or the word I was saying. Do I still yell every now and then? I don't. Of course. You know, we have our discussion, but she was right. Because I had just come from church. You think I was changed, right? And I'd forgotten I'd come from church. And just got so upset. You think God appreciated that? No, Jesus didn't appreciate that. His words had just gone through from one ear to the next, and especially if I had preached that day, I don't remember. But it is important, and so God doesn't want us to do that. Jesus doesn't want us to do that, friends. It's for all of us to catch hold of it. All of us sometimes to say, no, I can't. And sometimes even when I'm getting very busy and I'll hear myself saying, run! Hey, angel, then I'll catch myself and I says, could you please come here? Because I'll catch myself, right? Because it may sound like I'm calling from a distance and they're down here and I'm like, run, could you? Then I'll catch I says, could you please come for a minute? Because guess what? The Spirit of the Lord is telling me it didn't come out right. Even though the intent wasn't that. But to be mindful, right, of each other. And then he goes on to committing adultery. Well, you know what? I thought to myself when I read that text. I said, you know, Jesus, you should be around now walking the earth. Because you, if you look at Facebook and online, Jesus, marriage, adultery, that's not even a word people know anymore, Lord. I mean, there's a woman got married the other day and she was married for 12 days. Did you all see that? Pamela Anderson, it popped up on my phone. I didn't even know who Pamela Anderson. You know, she's that lovely woman who was in 12 days she was married. 12 days. But at least she was leaving him. But you see them getting divorces. And so Jesus says, guess what he's saying? It was said that, you know, you really had to go do something to commit adultery if you're married. But Jesus says what? You could do what? You could lust. Right? When you lust, I mean, everybody here who is married, I know you all won't put your hands up. We have all lusted then. We have all committed adultery because we have done what? Lusted in our heart. Have you ever looked at someone and says, that's a fine looking brother or sister? Fine looking. And is that just me? You know, you look at someone and you say, that's a fine looking man. Even when you were married. Right? Even when I am telling you, I said to Jesus, this is some hard work you're doing on us. Shall I share another story with you? Because I've got enough of my own. Well, one day, when I was married, Lord, the other one is for me about the divorce. I'm telling you, there's something for all of us in this text today. I've read the text, you know, I read it over and over. I says, Lord, I am coming to heaven, am I? Huh? And so I was in the car with my ex-husband. We're in the front, and my daughter, grandbaby was, I was in the back, my daughter was in the back. So this girl was passing the car in front, and she had on one of those tight tops and pants, and he didn't realize that he was just staring. So afterwards, so my daughter says, Mommy, you know what when daddy sees those women in those tight tops walking, he looks and he says, Yeah, my daughter reported, and I just looked at him. I says, I'm going to fix you. She had, because he used to take her around with him, and she's telling me, she says, when daddy sees these women passing in these nice little tight top, mommy, he says, She might have been about 10. You know, children are something else. Lusting in the heart. I am just trying to tell you that I got stories to tell. It will last a lifetime. Right? So I was kind of fixing him. I says, you better put on some glasses. So Jesus said here, you better watch out. He says, you rather take your eyes out, he's going to say later on. Instead of, what did he say? If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out. Right? If all this looking, what did our past president say, Jimmy Carter? They asked him if he lusted, and he's a deeply Christian man. He says if he had sinned, committed adultery, and he says yes, in his heart, because he lusted after someone. Now, come on, I know you're all wonderful married people, happy married. You've never looked at anybody. But for those of us who had looked at somebody and says, oh boy, or, you know, the old folks used to say, he's easy on the eyes. Or she's easy on the eyes. Have you all ever heard that, right? Looking so good. So there is work for all of us to do. Isn't that what Jesus is saying here? Work for, he says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. It is better to lose one of your members than your whole body. Than your whole body be thrown into hell. He's saying, if you're looking at things you ought not to look at, you might as well take your eyes off. Does he physically mean? No, he doesn't mean that. He's mean you got to stop looking at it. Right? But he's using this kind of language to get our attention. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away, because it's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. Jesus is trying to tell us to get the point that we have to work at being what? Better. And concerning divorce. And you know, you could divorce, but you could only divorce, the man could only divorce the woman if he commits adultery, if she's unpure or she's not virtuous. That means you have to have committed something outside of the marriage in order to get divorced, right? And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So for those of us who are divorced, the Lord is saying here now, we are committing adultery. So poor Elizabeth Taylor and all the other people, they have committed a lot of adultery, haven't they? But I think at that point, you know, it becomes, I said to myself, Jesus, you ought to be here now walking the earth. Because I could just imagine what he'd be saying now. Wouldn't it? Because this is not easy stuff, is it? And you see, wonder why Jesus has not given me another husband, because he's saying you're divorced. So all the praying, I might as well forget it. Right, Sam, did I tell you that we might as well forget? But you're widowed, you're okay. Yes, I'm fine. Praise the Lord. You They first have to die before you could remarry. That's not in the text. I'm just giving you the addition. I'm giving you my version of the text. Oh, glory to God. You know I'm getting you ready for Lent, so I want you to be very light on this subject matter for when the deep subject comes. Some days I'm better than other days. Just pray for me. Glory to God. I cannot tell you everything that I think about, because it's not possible. I read the text with an open mind, my brothers and sisters. So Jesus continues. That's why Jesus knows. He knows me because he made me. And then he says, concerning oaths, right? Don't swear. He says, but I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven for it is the throne of God. And do not swear by earth. And one of the things that bothers me is when people swear and use the name of the Lord. I can't stand it when I hear people swearing and swearing Jesus Christ, and they swear it with terrible things. That's one of the worst things for me, right? Because you don't hear anybody else swearing on the name of Muhammad. You don't hear them swearing on the name of Buddha. You don't hear anybody else swearing on the name of any other God. People tend to think they're so familiar with Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and he's God in flesh, why do we swear and use and be just, you know, with the terrible language with his name? That we Christians should really work on that. And then Jesus says, let your yes be yes or your no be no. He's reminding us that our word is our honor, right? Our word is important. When we say yes about something, we should mean it. We should be faithful to it. And we say no, we should mean it. It's one way or the other. So Jesus offers this radical ethic, right, for us. It's this kind of ethic is a reign of the kingdom of God, so we can understand, that we could get. So Paul wants to tell us today. Paul wants to say that we should grow in the word. He talks to the Corinthian church and he's saying, listen, I've been feeding you milk. Do you know when it means when you feed someone milk? Right? We feed baby milk. You know, when babies are born, what do? We have to give them milk because they don't have teeth to chew. Right? They can't chew the solid food. But as they grow, we give them what? We'll give them little eggs or little potato, whatever they do now. We will make it and give them because they could chew on it. They could swallow it. Right? And Paul is telling the church at the Corinth who are arguing. They're arguing about who saved them. Is it, some of them are for Apollos, some is for Paul. They form factions and divisions in the church. And instead of doing God's work, they're fighting against each other. And say, I belong to Paul. And the other one is saying, I belong to Apollos. And Paul is saying, did I die for you? Did Apollos die for you? Jesus Christ died for you. And his argument, he says, you need to learn, because I've been feeding you milk, right? I've been giving you milk because you were new Christians, because the Corinthians were a pagan society. So I've been giving you milk, but now you've got to come to a place where you get solid food. That means you could bite on it. This is what the Matthew text is. The Matthew text is now solid food, right? It's not an easy text. But Jesus is saying, if you've been in church all your life, if you've been reading the word, if you've been trying to live, you live by following Christ, right? Doing what is right. If you're reading his word, you're growing in his word. Now you could read harder things and you can take it in. When I read a text and it's hard, I don't get carried away. I look at it in my context and I say, Lord, what am I doing that is out of the will of God? Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. How do I need to change? I never believe that you guys need to change. I believe that I need to change first. I need to change like everybody else, because we all have things in us that God is working on and working through, right? And as to aspire and to strive, as John Wesley would say, to go on to perfection, right? To seek God. And that means that you're trying to bite now on solid food. You're trying to read more of the word to be better than you were yesterday. This is what the Lord is saying. Each day we want to go from glory to glory, so to speak, to be better than we were the day before. Right? After we have been walking with the Lord for a while, some of the things, the pettiness and the nonsense that we have and we do, we need to stop it. We need to be kind to each other. We need to be loving to each other. We need to be true Christians. And as the songwriter says, give me a clean heart so that I will serve thee. Lord, fix my heart so that I may be used by thee. We want to ask God to fix our heart. For I am not worthy of all your blessings. Give me a clean heart and I'll follow thee. We have to ask God for a clean heart, friends. None of us are exempt of asking God to create in us clean hearts. None of us. That's part of now eating solid food with the Word. And as the bulletin says at the front, we don't want to be a church, right? A church that doesn't understand. We don't want a people in a church. I believe it says, Ron, let me see your bulletin. I believe it says, the cover I found says, the malnourished church. We don't want to be a malnourished church. That means we don't read the Word and we don't understand God's Word. We're malnourished. We're spiritually malnourished, right? We want to be spiritually fed. And the only way we're going to be spiritually fed is through God's Word. And we don't have to beat upon ourselves if we don't know God's Word today. Each day we live is an opportunity to study God's Word, to show ourselves approved by Him, friends. So as we get our hearts ready for the Lenten season. Remember now, it's not a matter of whether we are divorced or whether we had committed adultery. And remember, everything that we have done, anything we have done out of the will of God, God forgives us. If we seek forgiveness and we repent, God forgives us. And when we repent, we stop doing what we were doing. That's what repentance means. This is not cheap grace. People who continue to do the same thing after they ask for forgiveness, it is called cheap grace. We're minimizing the grace of God, right? Our grace that we receive from God is not cheap. It costs Jesus his life, right? It's an expensive grace that he extended to us. So yes, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But through the grace of God, forgiveness has been given to all of us, friends. And so we need to be understand that we are forgiven people, walking that forgiveness, living that forgiveness, and then offer forgiveness to others. Thanks be to God for his word, and that for that he always gives us an opportunity to change and to seek him. Amen.